I don't know what you've heard about you, but he's with the sweet spot 1 and 3. He's Patrick Dumont without the weird teeth. It's the afternoon J-U-B. I don't know what you've heard about you, but he's with the sweet spot 1 and 3.
What?
He's got no guns, but he likes to shoot skeet. It's the afternoon J-U-B.
That's right, 2:38 on a Tuesday. You heard the theme song. That means we need to contact our good friend, the Marconi winner, the Texas Radio Hall of Famer. It is George Dunham.
Yep.
Jubb, do you read me?
Oh, yeah. Loud and clear. How we doing, sweet spot?
Doing great.
Great.
Doing great. We're all still in the afterglow of an incredible ticket stock where the P1s were.
That was an incredible ticket stock. That was great. I mean, we probably say it every year, but. Best one ever?
Yeah, we usually lie when we say it's the best one ever, but this one was definitely the best, or at least top five of all time.
Yeah, it was great. Everyone did a great job on Saturday. The P1s did an incredible job showing up, and then the guests were just perfect. They were just awesome.
I do have one enduring image of that ticket stock weekend, and Gordo tweeted out the spunt punt, and he actually put it in slow motion. And I do have a question, because I've known you for a long time. Are you right-handed or left-handed, George?
I am right-handed but left-footed.
Okay, how did the left-footed punt slash kick come about in life? Because usually your dominant hand is the leg you kick with.
I'm watching.
I know, but for some reason, and I was never, you know, like a big soccer player, because come on, soccer.
It's right. Sean is watching soccer right now, and he's getting all emotional on the breaks.
Like, I know.
Sorry, Sean.
We can't lose to Pelicans.
I'm glad Sean likes soccer. That's good.
It's really cute.
But I didn't. I'm going to try to kick a football as a kid. For whatever reason, I felt more comfortable with my left foot. And I tried. I mean, I was never very good at it, but yeah, I wanted to. If I didn't make it on the PGA Tour, I wanted to be a punter in the NFL.
That explains the skin linings a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I had it all figured out. I just, if one didn't work out, surely the other one would.
How many questions about spunt did you get over your week in New Orleans? I guess at Ticket Stock, everybody was aware of the bit because they're all there for the ticket. But when I tweeted out that video on Friday night, and I had a buddy who is a college buddy of mine saw this, and he called me, and he's like, "What the hell is going on?" Like, it's like there's a dude on stage with a little doll, and he's kicking it into the crowd. Like, is this some concert? What's going on? And it's just if you have no context of this, it's the most confusing thing of all time.
Yeah, especially with that kind of ending. And a name like that, Spunt, just how do you explain that? I had explained that to a friend of mine in college who actually does TV in another market. And he said, "Who is Spunt and where'd you get that name?" I was like, okay, well, you know, Jerry, he says a lot of weird things. And one day he said Spunt. And then he also said Camoose when he was trying to say Caboose. So his full name is Spunt Camoose.
So, George, your son was famously a deep snapper, so you have an affinity for special teams. And maybe this is something I missed along the way, but when did we go away from the orange kicking tee? And now we have sort of like a black rubber tee that's sort of low to the ground. I feel like there's been a big evolution since we were kids, and the kicking tee has totally changed.
And, you know, I don't know when that started. That's a really good question. Because, yeah, you're right, the orange tee, that helped you, I think that helped the onside kick.
Absolutely.
In fact, I don't know if you remember when Toby Gowan kicked for the Cowboys, former North Texas great as well. I was talking to him about this, and okay, it must have been in the 90s, because when he was at North Texas, we had, you know, different kind of tees, or maybe they're still like this in college ball, where he was able to put it, I think, upside down, and that's how he hit what he called his kangaroo kick, which went like 60 yards in the air. And it was the most, I mean, if you knew it was coming, you would just fair catch it. But he was a soccer player, and it was a, it was one of the most effective, like, I don't know, deep kickoffs or mid-range kickoffs, because it had incredible hang time, and it had this weird rotation on it that if you did fair catch it, there's a good chance you're going to fumble it. That's a long way to say, my guess is the 90s they started changing, but that's a good, I'm going to research that.
And sticking to Friday night, the headliner, Dirk, I heard you talking about this on the roundtable Saturday, and we've talked about it on our show, about Dirk signing autographs during every break when it wasn't his job to sign autographs being out there, and just how even when he's bragging about his vacations and stuff, he's sounding humble. And I'm trying to, maybe it's just, I don't think it's just because we're local and we've seen him play and we love the guy. Like, is he the most humble and nicest professional athlete you've ever met?
I think so. I mean, we've had a lot, you know, there's been Cowboys who I think go into that category, like Roger. But man, it's a short list that are like Dirk and just treat people, you know, like he never played professional sports. Mm-hmm. He couldn't be nicer. He couldn't be more accommodating, understanding. And, you can't help but love the guy. And that's why I think you throw all the athletes in there, including Cowboys through the years, as we discussed over the weekend. I think it's because of the struggles that we watched him go through. We were a part of it, the disappointment of it. And then when he finally got there in 2011, it was just like you never felt better for an athlete than you did for Dirk that night in Miami.
And he really feels like a metaphor of life and growth, like for a whole generation, because I was 11 years old when they drafted him, and I got really into the team. And like you said, George, you see the team grow, and they were getting better every year, and they got so close in 2003 and then 2006, and then they finally went it in 11. And at that point, I was a senior in college, and he retires when I'm in my 30s. So basically from the time I was a child until I was in my 30s, I was watching this guy and watching him grow.
Yeah. 21 years, same place. It's very rare. And, you know, we just touched on it with him on the round table about how transactional the league is, you know, that it's, and this was not even in relation to Luka. This is just the league, you know, and fans have to be well versed in, you know, contract status and what that means. And I think that's fun to a degree, but what's really missing is what the Mavericks did in the early aughts and building up to that first run to the NBA finals is, you know, each year you acquire a piece and you add this guy and then you add this guy. It's not, well, let's just blow up our team and then we'll take this, you know, contract, swap it with that contract. And I don't know. I understand it, but at the same time, it'd be interesting. Monty's our NBA guy. It'd be interesting if an NBA team just really went by that model, and would fans have patience for growth over 5 or 6 years?
Probably not, because we're so conditioned now, right?
I mean, yeah.
Everybody wants a move done every deadline.
Right.
You think, I don't know who's calling the game tonight, but do you think that Snagglepuss is going to handle the emotions properly as the Mavs take on Luka for the first time?
I've never seen anything like it. The emotion he must be going through, even. Erna, why do we have Snagglepuss on this game? Biggest regular season game in 50 years, and we got Snagglepuss.
Oh, it reminds me of the compound. That was all night.
Yeah, compound.
I got to give it to him. That did kind of sound a little Snagglepussy.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
A little what?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Like Snagglepuss.
No. We know.
Okay.
Oh, real quick. I was listening to the Musers this morning. Is everything okay with your producer? Because I don't know if I've heard Deddy more upset when he was called out for code switching during the Black Daddy song.
I've known him for 20 years, guys. He's like my best friend.
Brother, I've known him for 20 years.
He's been my brother.
Okay,
he
here's
the
best
brother of my
Daddy
wedding.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Psycho.
Oh, we set off the daddy alarm.
He's coming, kill me. Psycho okay. Daddy.
Okay, let's all just be cool and leave daddy alone. He's our brother who does. He's our brother who doesn't take teasing really well. So, daddy just wants everything to be good and everyone is in a good mood and no one's making fun of anybody. It's okay.
He wants everything to be good in the
hood. All I know is Black Daddy is one of the funniest songs ever at Ticketstock. That was just flipping awesome.
Oh, we have just a
so
writing.
Good.
I didn't know we had such a good writing combo on the other side of the glass. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you guys should go to Nashville yeah. and just strike it big.
I don't know if Black Daddy would be yeah, big in Nashville.
Yeah, right. Around other races, buddy.
Right, Georgia, Florida Lines next album. Yeah. I think between Ham and Monty, they could do it.
Oh, and it's not code switching, but I'll be damned if every time I go to a family reunion in East Texas, I don't sound a little more country coming back.
Country.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens. It happens, pal. I think we all do it to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And I don't, honestly, I'm being very, and I mean this as not to be dishonest. I really don't think he was code switching. I really don't. I just think it's just like, okay, hey brother, what's up?
What if we had an example to just reevaluate?
Yeah, like what town are we in?
Yeah.
Maybe. It's Dallas, Texas. What do you think? Yeah.
I just don't remember when Razor was asking about chicken fried steaks, him saying
that's
it
that true.
Way.
I don't know. I don't know about you, but I'm very curious about the whole chicken thing.
Okay.
All right.
And Daddy, he's just comfortable with everybody. That's what it is. That's he wants it. To feel that comfortable. He's not doing this to be hateful or
defense,
anything.
He
just
does
casual conversation.
Yes, and he has called me brother a number of times, just like Grego used
Same.
To.
Yep, that is a go-to for him,
brother.
For sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's a defense of, of Daddy. He's kind of new to this full-time thing. You know, Daddy hasn't been clubbed over the head like a lot of us have, and he'll eventually get used to it.
And he just needs to, the best way for it to go away is you just have to fully embrace it.
Yep.
That's
just
right.
Fully
we all get
into
clubbed
it.
Over the head. Look at Sean in the Cold War thing. Yeah. He's still fighting that.
It's okay.
Sean's still fighting the Cold War.
I still might be right. Sure.
No, you're not.
Pete Carroll and Michael Bennett were dancing around a burning flag.
Yeah.
No, that was clearly a Photoshop.
Still leaning into that one.
Yeah, I mean, I thought there was really a Gorilla Channel. By the way, someone wore, did you see that sweatshirt out at Ticketstock?
No.
No, what was
someone
this?
Someone had the outline of a gorilla on a sweatshirt, and it said, 24-hour Gorilla Channel.
Okay, that's one of the hardest I've laughed was listening to Gorilla Channel.
Me too.
We could play that every day.
So in summation, we're all so stupid.
Yes, we're all dumb. We all say dumb things.
Exactly.
It's okay.
It is okay.
Let's do some more dumb stuff next week, George. How about that?
Okay.
Let's do it again.
Let's do it.
All right,
let's
brother.
Let's do it.
See you, brother.
Okay, brother.
There he goes. That is George Dunham, good old Jub Jub.